The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Friday, April 23rd, if you're listening in your audio feed. So, happy birthday to my lovely wife, AK. She turned 40 today. Pretty exciting. If you are watching us on YouTube, do not wish her happy birthday because we record early Thursday, April 22nd. You can watch us on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. And we are live sometimes on Thursday afternoons for mailbags and Sundays. We do Sunday afternoons. Ryan Wilson and I talk draft usually with somebody pops in. I think we're going to do a live, mock draft this Sunday? Like with four or five people. You, me, Traps, Josh Edwards, going to do some picks. Joining me now to do a mailbag, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, fellas?
So I have a question, and this came up on HQ on Thursday morning. Tommy Tran from California and Brandon Baylor. Yeah, that's right. I think Brandon's either from DC or Florida. Either way, they were doing the rock, paper, scissors based on what Nick Sirianni, the Eagles head coach, said he was doing on Zoom calls with the players to gauge their competitiveness. And Tommy does it rock, paper, scissors, and I've grown up doing rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
I do right? 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Yeah, exactly.
No one does. Why would you say rock, paper, scissors?
I will say that I did the same thing as Tommy. I was a 1, 2, 3 show. 1, 2 show. And you know what?
You said 1, 2 show. Oh, well, 1, 2 show is different than rock, paper, scissors.
No, that's the same thing. That's what Tommy's saying. It's the same. Like your count, you show it on the third count.
No, I understand.
As a child to doing it your guys' way, which is a horse manure way. There's not four options. There's three options. You let out on the third count.
Three options? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about there's rock, paper, scissors. There's not four. There's only three.
But why would you say it on scissors? The game isn't scissors. You don't want to be like scissors.
1, 2, 3, boom.
That's what you do. 1, 2, 3, boom.
Exactly.
1, 2, 3, boom.
It's already out on the
back. Hey! Dunked on himself! You love to see it.
If I had to guess, I knew Breach was going to go that way because he says rabbit ears for quotes. He says all sorts of stupid stuff that doesn't make sense.
I say bunny ears. Thank you very much.
He's like, in bunny ears, like for air quotes. Who does that? He also says Belichick or no, Bill. What does he say?
Belichick.
And he also says, oh, did I delete Tyler?
But let's not overlook the fact that Brinson broke the first rule of marriage. You don't announce your wife's age on a podcast after she turns 30.
That's 40's a big one. There's tons of stuff that Breach mispronounces.
Tyron Matthew.
Yeah. By the way, Breach, 40's the new 25.
We need to have Brinson read off a list of European countries and see how many he gets correct.
So make sure and check out in the feed prospect rankings for every position. We break down literally every position by position, top 5, top 10, depending on what it is, with different experts, guys who know what they're talking about. And if you want to hear me mangle some words, go listen to the prospect breakdowns. There's mangling, baby. All out NFL draft coverage next week. Oh yeah. Final mock draft Monday. We'll have a big prop show. Hopefully we'll be able to find some value. There has been a ton of movement on these props already. It's wild how big these markets are, how much prop stuff you can bet on out there. And it will be interesting to see just how we can find value with as long as the market's been open. Of course, we're going to talk about it throughout the podcast, so hopefully people have been listening. Bold predictions, burning questions, and immediate reactions each night after the draft. Very excited for that. My wife is leaving town with some of her friends to celebrate her birthday and to hang out, you know, in a post-vaccinated world. And
where are they going?
Asheville.
Oh, love it. If AK needs any restaurant recommendations, tell her to hit me up.
I'm sure you and she like the same vegan food. But the problem is she's leaving Robbie here on Friday, and she'll be here Thursday for the
wait. It's just you and Robbie for the draft?
For Friday instead of the draft. Sort of a problem.
Are you going to babysit her?
I don't know what I'm going to do.
Seems like a lot. The draft is a lot, man. You going to sit the kid down and
I'd almost rather deal with him on Thursday. You know, like you can like sort of get through Thursday.
What's his favorite movie? You're going to have to play it on a loop 7 times on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. My mother-in-law is supposed to take him and now she's balking at it.
Maybe she's going to watch the draft and that's why.
Maybe so. Maybe she'll be in Cleveland. Maybe she'll be on our 6-hour Twitch stream.
We should have a trivia contest right now. Whoever wins gets to babysit Brenton's kid.
That's an interesting contest. Whoever wins?
So you win the trivia contest and you get to babysit Robbie for 2 days.
Breach isn't great at making trivia contests. But before we move on, I want to ask Debo. Debo, what do you do in the rock, paper, scissors? Cause we moved on too quickly from that.
I'm with you and Brinson. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors.
Yeah. And most of America and get out of the world.
Breach. I'm actually Breach. It's team Breach, team Tommy Tran. And of course, Chris Hassel would be on that team for some random reason.
Chris Hassel says,
do it the dumb way. He also hates mac and cheese, which is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Now, I don't, that is bizarre. You could say, I don't mind if you're like 1, 2, 1, 2, 3 and you go on 3. No.
That's what I do. I don't.
But no, but you don't. Cause you go rock, paper, scissors. That's stupid.
No, I do 1, 2, 3. I was saying
you
that
never
Tommy,
said that. You Tommy never does said that.
Yes,
you never
Tommy,
said that.
I was saying what Tommy said, rock, paper, scissors. I do it on the same count is what I said.
So when you play,
I don't use the same word.
I want you to play right now. Do what you do.
1, 2, 3.
Okay. This feels like a lie. Like you've been shamed into doing this and you changed it.
I said I did it on the same count as Tommy, not the same words. You can go back. Check
No. In fact, you said something else. You said there was like, it was like 1, 2 snarf or something very weird. I can't remember what it was. What'd you say it was? It wasn't 3.
1, 2 bunny ears.
What'd he say?
1, 2 rabbit ears. Bunny ears.
What did you say, Breach? You said 1, 2 something.
Wait, let's just move on.
Oh, no. What did you say?
I honestly don't remember.
You don't go on 3.
I know the answer is 1, 2, 3.
All right. Sorry to bring it up.
That's
Breach.
Fine.
Breach is
I
wrong.
I can't believe me and Tommy Tran are the only two people at CBS Sports and who know how to properly play this game.
By the way, Debo, since your mic appears to be working just fine, where do you fall on the, wow, Nick Sirianni just told us that he spends his time with prospects playing rock, paper, scissors, nothing burger or massive red flag?
Like I said, I'm trying to keep a positive headspace. Still haven't read the Athletic article, so I'm sure that was great. Things with Sirianni, I'm not overreacting. His introductory press conference, like everybody freaked out about that. I didn't freak out. I wish I was a little bit more encouraged by him. I wish he sparked a little bit more excitement in the fan base, but that's yet to be seen.
His press conferences have not been great.
Which is fine. Like, if you can command the locker room, I'm fine if you're not outstanding with the media.
Yeah, yeah, I think he's actually a good coach. I don't care about the rock, paper, scissors thing doesn't bother me. What bothers me more about rock, paper, scissors is that Breach is doing it the way he does it.
Yeah.
I just want to,
I'll be honest. I'm on the website of the World Rock, Paper, Scissors Association looking for the official rules right now. I'm doing literal research while you guys talk about this nonsense.
No one else in the world needs to do research because it's 1, 2, 3, shoot. That's why you say it on shoot. I don't know what kind of weird geographical place Tommy Tran grew up in where you said rock, paper, scissors. Like it makes no sense. All right, moving along. Anyway, yeah, the Sirianni thing, you don't want to judge a coach just on his press conferences, because that seems silly. But coming out and like saying you're going to be smarter than everybody else and you're going to establish this culture that's like, you know, that's we're going to have an intellectual edge to it. And he stammered through the, you know, he's like, we're going to do things and then you come back and say, rock, paper, scissors is what we do. And we get prospects in there to see how competitive they are.
Look, you know, who's going to have the last laugh if the Eagles win the Super Bowl next year? Nick Sirianni. And you know who's going to be playing rock, paper, scissors during their combine interviews? Everyone else. That's right.
Look, I mean, I'd much rather have him stammer through and actually follow through on those things than have Chip Kelly just like nail the press conferences and be super impressive and talk this big game and then fall through on everything. So.
Sure. I'm not saying you want to, I'm not saying we're judging him. I'm just saying that the rock, paper, scissors thing is kind of bizarre. Like that's how you tell if a prospect's competitive? What if they never played it before and they're weirded out by it?
Would you rather be a pen or pencil?
No, also, exactly. Sure. What kind of vegetable are you? If you were a vegetable, what kind of vegetable would you be?
You got to say eggplant, right? Isn't that the right answer?
We didn't bring this one up, but
that's not the right answer, Ryan.
BMAC followed up and he said the Bears had asked, does he prefer his food from the microwave or from the stove, which just seems like a clear answer. But how would you guys answer that?
Do you prefer your food from the microwave or the stove?
Yeah, like cooked in the microwave or on the stove?
I prefer the stove, but if I'm in a hurry, I'll use the microwave.
Yeah that's, prefer that's the stove, use the microwave.
If my wife is doing it, she'll put it in the stove because she hates a microwave. If I'm doing it, like I will literally throw a chicken, like a whole chicken inside the microwave.
With that question, it sounds like the team wants to know if you're lazy. Like, oh, you're a microwave guy? All right.
Oh, yeah.
We're not drafting you.
Well, but yeah. It costs me, are you efficient?
Yeah, but do you want to eat a rubber chicken? I mean, that's the trade-off.
Right. I mean, the stove is clearly better. I think if it's like if you have a frozen meal, do you take, because it's going to take 45 minutes to get it. You have to prepare early. You have to start cooking it 45 minutes ahead of time. Whereas if you're starving, right, you can cook it in 4 minutes in the microwave. And I always think to myself, man, I should throw this in the stove. I'm like, I'm not waiting 45 minutes for this Amy's burrito bowl or whatever it is.
When's the last time you think some of these elite college prospects have prepared their own meals?
That's the other question. I mean, maybe when they went home over the summer and they were on their own. But even they may have gone to Chipotle. We don't know.
I'm assuming that you're saying that the answer they want is stove, right?
Who the hell knows? I mean, what kind of question is that? Is the bigger, like, pencil or pen? What are we talking about? Crayon. How about that?
What? That's a little too outside the box. Don't like people who color outside the box. Get it? Oh.
The lines. Go ahead. Ask a question. You have something to do.
Oh, you mean a mailbag question?
Yeah.
All right, guys. I would just like you know, I just did a BuzzFeed quiz about which vegetable I am, and I'm a carrot. There you go.
All right, Ryan, I would like you to do a BuzzFeed quiz real quick, too, please.
Send it over.
I'm sending it. We can start the mailbag, and Wilson can fill out the quiz.
Oh, that is a good question. What would you like to be in? A casserole, a salad? If you're a vegetable, what would you want to be in? Soup, salad, casserole, sandwich, ratatouille, or pizza?
I'm sorry, Wilson. Now the mailbag's never going to start.
This might be the episode, Wilson.
Brinson's going to miss his wife's 40th birthday. This is a disaster.
All right. Here we go. All right. Okay. Yeah. I'd rather be in a wrap.
A wrap would be a good choice.
Well, there's a lot of questions, so you need to fill it out. If we go through all of them, that's going to be a separate podcast.
Choose a vegetable that isn't popular. Lotus root. I don't even know. Daikon. I've never heard of these vegetables.
Oh, it's delicious.
Finally, choose a word to describe you that could also be used to describe a vegetable. Tender. Fresh. Oh, I'm rotten. I am an onion. I don't know, man. Who cares? All right. Let's go to the
mailbag.
From a five-star man. This is from Ray from Iowa via Apple Podcast. Wilson, just chime in whenever you figure out what vegetable you are. I was getting whooped in Madden again. It made me think back to better days when they had a rewind feature so you could redo one terrible play per game, like throwing a pick or giving up a big play TD. If I could do that for a game in recent-ish memory, the Cowboys, are walking out of Green Bay with a W in 2015 because Dez caught it. And that team could have beaten Seattle and then New England, maybe. Would love to hear one play that you change. I will first ask you guys, were the Cowboys to win that game in Green Bay, would they have gone on to win the Super Bowl?
I don't even remember. What year was that?
2015.
So, who ended up in the Super Bowl that year? You got to refresh my memory.
Seattle and New England, man.
Oh. no, they're not beating the Seahawks.
Because remember, Russ then beat the Packers the following week in the NFC Championship game in overtime.
Because that Seahawks team, obviously.
And then the Malcolm Butler
played. But also, that Seahawks team was trailing big time.
And this is the 2014 season.
Against that Packers team.
Yeah.
That was the one where the Packers blew, like, the two-touchdown lead in the final 3 minutes against the Seahawks the next week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They had the lead, and then the Seahawks came back and beat them.
Yeah, that was – the Seahawks lost to the Cowboys at home
that was correct.
Like, the Seahawks never lost at – like, they just didn't lose home the first 3 or 4 years Russell Wilson was there, and that was one of their very, very few home losses.
That is correct. Right. DeMarco Murray, 28 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown in a 30-23 victory over the Seahawks in Seattle. Not primetime. Jason Garrett beat Pete Carroll in Seattle. What a world. So yeah, I think it's possible. I'm not going to go so far as to say that Jason Garrett would have outcoached Bill Belichick in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't know if they're getting past the Seahawks, but that's just me.
I think they beat the Seahawks and then lose to the Patriots. Also, this is a good time to point out, as I like to, that Jerry Jones once told, I believe it was Mike Silver, that after the eve of the 96 Super Bowl, which is the last one the Cowboys appeared in and won, that he prayed and said, dear God, if you give me this Super Bowl, I promise I won't ask for nothing else ever again. No, nothing else. And so the big guy handed him the Super Bowl and haven't given him one since. So maybe be careful what you ask for, Jerry. Anywho, Breach, I'm going to start with you here because I have to assume that your moment involves the Bengals getting their backs broken in a Super Bowl.
I mean, I don't even want to bring it up. You know what is funny? I could have said a Super Bowl because both losses were close, but it wouldn't be Joe Montana to John Taylor. If that doesn't happen, the 49ers are in field goal range for like an under 30-yard field goal, so they probably tie it. It goes to overtime. So taking that play away doesn't guarantee a Bengals win, so I can't use that game. The game I can use is a game I don't even want to bring up because Ryan brings it up at least once a week and rubs my face in it. And it is the same year, the Bengals Steelers playoff game, not the Carson Palmer one, but the other. There's two of them. There's so many of them that I have to clarify which one I'm talking about. And the play I would get rid of is Jeremy Hill's fumble with 1 minute and 26 seconds left. It's not the Vontaze Burfict craziness. It is not the Pac-Man Jones unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, 30 yards in penalties on one play. It is the Jeremy Hill fumble with 90 seconds left. If that does not happen, the Pac-Man stuff doesn't happen. The Vontaze Burfict stuff doesn't happen. And A.J. McCarron somehow escapes with a playoff win against the Steelers. So that's my play. Jeremy Hill fumble.
Celery. So here's the deal. I want to make Breach feel a little better about himself. I would change that Ryan Finley debaclement that we all had to sit through. How are you going to lose to that backup quarterback? I'm in the middle of texting back and forth with my wife about what time practice is for my son's tennis practice today. So this is a whole thing that I'm dealing with. How do you lose to Ryan Finley?
Nobody cares.
I'm telling you why I'm sort of distracted. This is what it's like to work with Brinson every day. So here's the other game that I'm going to go to. The more important game, I suppose, unless you're on the hook for a Ryan Finley tattoo. Again, we're going to go back to the Packers and involve the Seahawks. Ooh. And it's the January 2015 playoff game where Mike McCarthy, every single time that the Packers got down to the 1-inch line, had Mason Crosby kick a field goal. And of course they lost. I think they lost the game in overtime, right? On that crazy play to end it. But either way, I'm reading the recount of that story and Packers facing fourth and goal at the 6-inch line in the first quarter. McCarthy kicks field goal. Packers facing fourth and goal at the 1-yard line, on the very next possession, field goal. So they were up 6-0 and eventually obviously lost that game. In the second quarter, the Packers faced fourth and one at the Seahawks 22-yard line, kicked another field goal. So, I think Packers fans, for as happy as they were about the Dez game, probably were just as frustrated about how that played out, because Mike McCarthy did what Mike McCarthy does. And by the way, after that year off, Mike McCarthy appears to be the exact same coach, because he had issues last year with the way he was calling games for the Cowboys in terms of being way too conservative.
Mm, indeed. I will give a good answer, since that one was terrible. That's it? That's your...
That one? They should have gone...
I'm talking about your life as a Steelers fan. You're like, I want to change the Ryan Finley Monday night. I mean, I guess the tattoos.
Oh, well, here's the other one I mean, that comes immediately to mind, is the game in which they were down 500-0 last year against the Browns. In the beginning of the fourth quarter, they punted. Go for it, you morons! Like, they're reeling. Yeah. I don't even know what it would have cut it to that point, but if they had gone for it on fourth down, they would have gotten it, and they would have won that football game. Because it, what was it, 28-0 or whatever it was? Whatever it was, there was no coming back.
I mean, you wouldn't take back the Tim Tebow touchdown pass in overtime?
That was 2015 too, I think, right?
The 2011.
Oh, down hard! What is going on with you, Wilson? What are you?
He's distracted.
Did you take a shot?
I think that Mike McCarthy one's pretty good.
We're in the midst of draft season. Wilson is full. He's got mock drafts running his head like sugar plums.
No, I mentioned Ryan Finley. Like last year, I mean, that team, they should have beat, you're not losing, you shouldn't be down 28-0 or whatever it was to the Browns. The Tim Tebow thing, I mean, it was not fun to watch at the time.
You know, but the whole point is the guy was something like for your own team, something that pains you.
Oh, like, okay.
Changed one play.
Well, I started with Ryan Finley. I think that's a great place to start.
I mean, I think that's fair because he has to get a tattoo.
Yeah, but I was just thinking in the broader terms as well. But yeah.
Okay, my answer.
And you don't have a team, so how can you even take part in this question?
Well, I've rooted for football teams in my life.
The football team?
I'm going to tell you about this Philip Rivers story that really still hurts me. Go ahead.
That is actually correct. Well, first I was trying to think of something. I thought of a Braves, just reminded me of like a Lonnie Smith base running era in the 91 World Series. Like, just go back and change that. And all of a sudden, maybe the Braves win a bunch of World Series. But for football, I thought of the Panthers-Pat Super Bowl. I was trying to think of something extremely egregious, but I don't remember.
Yeah, no, there's a kick out of bounds. Who was
John Casey kicked it out of bounds. Yeah. That would be it. Don't kick it out of bounds. Maybe Brady doesn't get in Vinatieri field goal range. Maybe the Panthers win the Super Bowl. So that's a great call. I knew there's something. I was just forgetting it. That was one. And then the other one was the Marlon McCree fumble, back in, the 2007, after the 2007 season. So it would have been 2006 season, 2006 Chargers in 2007, 6 minutes and 24 seconds left in the game. Chargers are leading 21-13, 4th and 8. Tom Brady throws a duck into the middle of the field. Marlon McCree, part of that awesome Chargers defense, easily snares it. And he takes off running, and Troy Brown strips him, and the Patriots recover. And then Brady tosses a touchdown pass to Rashay Caldwell with 4 minutes and 40 seconds left. They run the fake snap to, I think it was Kevin Faulk, who runs in for the 2-point conversion. Pats get the ball back, kick a field goal to go up, and then Nate Kading, maybe the kicker, misses a 54-yard field goal, and the Chargers lose. If Marlon McCree simply bats the ball down, the Chargers probably win that game and probably go on to win the Super Bowl because they were one of the best teams of football that year.
There you go.
So that was okay. You guys don't seem to really care about that one.
I do. I was just thinking there are so many plays. Like, I'm sure, like, Vikings fans, like, literally any kick in our history, we would love to have back. Blair Walsh against the Seahawks, Gary Anderson against the Falcons.
Yeah. I mean, the bad teams have a lot of these. Yeah.
I know, but it's
like, what if a Patriots fan came out and said, you know what I would change is the David Tyree helmet. It's like, shut up. Shut up. You're not going to change anything. You got 6 Super Bowls. Shut your mouth.
Yikes.
Anything, we change it back the other way.
Hey,
you try to ask for something changed. You get something changed on you.
There's 2 helmet catches in the game.
Yeah.
That's what we change.
No, we flip it where the John Casey doesn't kick out of bounds or, what are the Super Bowl they alleged.
Malcolm Butler's
allegedly cheated. Yeah, you don't get Malcolm Butler. Yeah, Marshawn Lynch runs it, or, you know.
I was going to say, the Patriots got their they gave up the helmet catch, and then between the Russell Wilson interception at the one and the crazy Julian Edelman catch in the Super Bowl against the Falcons, they had plenty of plays go their way. I don't think they can really complain.
The only Super Bowl that they've won that hasn't been insanely close was the first one over the Eagles.
And the Rams.
That was a close game.
I mean, it was, but nobody thought the Rams were going to win. By halftime, it was pretty clear the Rams could not do anything.
Their first three were all decided by 3 points.
Yeah, it's a 3-point Super Bowl. What are you talking about? Even the second.
The Rams, what are you talking about? They beat the Rams by double digits. They beat the Eagles by 3 points.
I thought you were talking about the Rams, the first Super Bowl.
No.
The second Rams Super Bowl. Yeah. It was still a close game though.
I forgot. They played the Eagles and the Rams twice.
Yeah, they did. All right, moving along. Unless Wilson has any more random moments from NFL history that he wants to bring up.
No. Thank you though. I feel like you're being sarcastic.
Mailbag question / Bengals dunk opportunity. Oh, we love it. From Danae42 via Apple Podcast. If you ever need a reason to dunk on Breach, just mention the Bengals indoor practice facility GoFundMe.
He handily, bunny ears, by the way.
Yeah, he handily linked to it. Did you guys visit the site yet?
I did. No.
It's amazing. 3.5 months. Debo. They have been doing this. Oh, Debo, can you put this up on the share? Let's see if we can share this on the
screen.
He's
frantically trying to see what it looks like, as am I.
No. Debo's doing it so he can put it up as part of the shared screen. 3.5 months. Some Bengals fan has started this 3.5 months ago. They are looking to raise $12.5 million. The goal they set on there is that if each one of the 500,000 Bengals followers on Instagram of the team's official Instagram, which is surprising they have that many, I just figured the Bengals fans weren't smart enough to use Instagram. If each one of them donated $22, they could get to $12.5 million pretty quickly to give the Bengals a practice facility. It's the stupidest thing I ever heard. Brian, do you know how much money they've raised? Have you looked yet?
I have looked. Okay. Breach, have you looked, Breach?
I've looked. I knew.
So everyone knows.
They've raised $72.
Now, in the fans' defense, that's $72 more than the Bengals have raised trying to put together an indoor practice facility. So this is like a big thing in Cincinnati. The Bengals are the northernmost NFL team that doesn't have an indoor bubble. Like, I live in Nashville. The Titans have a bubble. We are 5 hours south of Cincinnati, and the Tennessee Titans have a indoor practice bubble. So, you know, and there's been a theory that one of the reasons the Bengals have struggled in the playoffs is because they're practicing outdoors in January trying to prep for a game when the team they're playing gets to practice in a bubble. And if the Bengals do need a bubble, you know what they do? They go to the University of Cincinnati. They have to bus over there and they're going to a college. You're taking a college team's bubble because you're too cheap to buy your own bubble. It is literally insanity. Hopefully they eventually get a bubble because it seems like the decision makers have gotten a little brighter over there, but it just blows my mind they don't have a bubble. And so you guys can always dunk on me with this GoFundMe, and I will just take the dunk to my face.
Oh, ho, ho! Up high, down hard. Is this the thing that went viral? Is anybody talked about it? Or is this?
Well, the practice facility has been a talking point for a long time, right? Breach, the lack of coaching staff, like the lack of weight room. It's been everything, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, but once they got, I mean, they have a real nice weight room now at Paul Brown Stadium. They have,
is it nicer than the weight room that the women had in the NCAAs?
I think so. Okay. I think so, Wilson. But it is, they still don't have this indoor practice facility that pretty much every other team has. And it's just mind boggling. An NFL team just doesn't fork over the money to pay for this.
So let me ask you this, assuming you know, cause Mike Brown, the Brown family is on the team forever, and presumably the reasons for the lack of infrastructure compared to other NFL teams is that he's cheap. But if clearly they're working in the black, is he just cheap and he wants to make as much money as possible? Or is he like having trouble turning this into a financial windfall?
I mean, if you can't make money off it, I don't think he wants to do it. He looks at it like, I'm going to pay $3 million. It doesn't cost $12.5 million. I think these things cost like $3 to $5 million. And he's thinking, why would I invest that kind of money for something we're going to use like 15 to 20 times a year?
It's like my dad.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not paying for that.
NC State had one built recently and it ended up taking up a ton of tailgating parking space. I think it is a pretty attractive thing for a team to have, but it matters more for I mean, I guess it matters for the pros because you can practice indoors, but I think it probably matters more for college because it's an attractive recruiting tool.
Yep.
We can take it off. We can take it off the screen now, Debo, if you want. Anyway.
But it's also an attractive recruiting tool for free agents in the NFL. You don't want to be thinking you're in Cincinnati. It gets cold there in December. You don't be practicing outside every day and getting pneumonia.
Do you think when the free agents come by, they drive over to the Cincinnati indoor practice facility and try to use that as a selling point?
I think when they get there, they're sitting there talking to the coach and they're like, all right, now can you show me the indoor practice facility?
You're looking at it. Close your eyes. That's it.
Do you think that happens? I don't know if that happens.
No, it's a joke. Jeez. Captain Literal.
All right. Whatever. I'm trying to tweet out this. I'm trying to tweet out
the GoFundMe.
The GoFundMe. All right. Moving along to the next one. Oh, and, sorry. Well, that was weird. Danny asked as well. I love the pod though. In all seriousness, I can relate as a Seattle Mariners fan to the Bengals plight. Best NFL podcast. Awesome NFL podcast. Never miss an episode. Mailbag question. Let's say the Bengals go 0-17 this year and decide to fire their entire coaching staff right down to the equipment manager. Then they decide to fill the entire staff with pick six super friends and podcast regulars. Pete, Brady, RJ, JJ, Bryant, and whoever else I didn't think of off the top of my head. Who gets what job? Thanks, Darren from Newfoundland, Canada.
Newfoundland, ooh. Number one. And number two, Darren, I shouldn't have corrected the way your hometown is spelled because you didn't even include me in your list here.
You're not.
Well, I think he assumes we're on the list because it's to us. He knows who does the mailbag.
You're not a regular. You're a super friend. Okay. He said entire staff with pick six super friends. That's the three of us.
And, yeah, but look at the coaching staff. I'm not on the coaching staff. That's what I'm looking at.
Oh, he didn't do that. I filled that out.
Oh, you jerk. Where am I? Sorry, Darren.
I was trying to build it out.
I take that back, Darren. That, as always, it's Brinson's.
Yeah. I made myself the head coach.
That's why I had some concerns about where Darren was going.
Well, that's what I was going to say. So like, who would be the head coach out of the, is it Prisco?
I mean, it's gotta be you or Prisco. But if it's Prisco, you know, we're running the ball 70%. Learn the game. That's always going to tell us every practice.
I think Prisco is the general manager.
I don't know. I think Wilson, you're the general manager. You're the draft guru.
Well, no. Pete would be the general manager, I think. But they said fire the coaching staff. So I didn't know if he was including front office there. That was where I sort of stopped halfway through because I got a little confused. I had RJ listed as sort of the Ernie Adams. Like, I want RJ up in the
RJ's running the analytics department.
I want RJ up in the box with like with binoculars, like explaining what tendencies are going on and how to adjust on the fly. Yeah, I don't know that Pete would be. The problem with Pete is, as the head coach, he's not going to let his coaches coach.
I think he has to be the GM. You mean?
We'll make Pete the GM. But then Pete's.
You know who could else be the GM?
Then Pete can fire everybody. That's not really great.
The other GM could be, what's that guy's name? Oh, Scott Pioli.
I don't know. Does Pioli count as a regular? He's been on the podcast.
Oh, that's true. He's a CBS regular, but right, he's on the podcast a lot. Okay, fair enough. All right, so Prisco's the GM. I'm fine with Brinson being the head coach because I want to watch that fire fest burn down.
I'm just going to manage. I got quality people underneath me.
Do you think Brady and BMAC are going to work for you, though? Like, will they be okay with that?
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting paid an offensive coordinator, defense coordinator salary.
Yeah. I mean, I think Brady would definitely try and
let me put it to you in terms you can understand. Do you think the offensive defensive coordinators for the Browns are happy playing for Freddie Kitchens?
Who else would you potentially use as offensive? Like, who would be the head coach? I just think you have to have Brady and BMAC as the play callers.
No, they have to be because they know the intricacies of the NFL better than anybody that comes on the podcast. If you played in the NFL, you understand it better than anybody who didn't, obviously. And so I think that has to be the answer.
Emery's the running backs coach because he's a former running back in college.
Oh, that's a good call.
Who else do you have on the show? JJ. I think JJ has to work at the front office. I will be the assistant GM. Who actually has more power than everyone. Actually, I'll be the owner. That's what I feel like. No, I'll be the, I'll do the, whatever the scouting stuff. Since I don't have a place on the game.
You can
day
lead
roster.
Up the scouting department.
No, I was going to let, the reason you and Pete aren't on here is because I didn't know if we were going to do just coaching staff or include the front office.
My feelings have been hurt. There's no walking this back.
Wilson is the coach of another team in the AFC North, and he's going to crush Brinson. That's what it sounds like.
And our first signing is going to be Ryan Finley, and we're going to beat you with Ryan Finley.
And then you have to get a tattoo.
I love that this question is about the Bengals because it's a completely believable situation that they go 0-17, fire everyone. They're like, you know what? Let's go a different route here. Let's hire a podcast group.
They're like, we're still paying Zach Taylor. Let's just hire these podcast guys for nothing. And then if they don't work out after a year, we'll be able to we'll have the money loosened up to hire a real coach.
I got one quick question for Bree.
All right, Ryan, if there was no front office, what coach would you want?
What job would I want? I don't know if I want to be a coach.
I sort of thought about making Pete the equipment manager just so like everybody could pick on him and he had no recourse like to take it.
Yeah. Maybe I should be the offensive line. Like what am I going to do? I have no idea.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's not a whole lot of great slots for.
I would be fine being the guy that, although this doesn't happen. This only happens in college.
I know who you can be.
Who?
You can be my get back coach.
Oh God! You
have to grab my shorts every time I'm running on my pants. Every time I run down the field.
You know what I would be? I would be the push out coach. I would push you out into the traffic.
Walking down the street, Wilson shoves me in front of a bus. Whoops!
So Breach, what are your thoughts on Joe Burrow saying that he thinks Zach Taylor's going to have a long, successful career in Cincinnati? Like on the believability scale, is that a 1 to 10? Where are you?
That's a 4. You know, you put the quarterback on the spot. He can't say anything else. He can't be like, God, this guy, you should have seen. We blew a few leads last year that would have been not blown if we had a competent coach. But, you know, I've been saying I'm not completely against Zach Taylor. I wanted him back for a third year. This is the make or break year. That's it.
Again?
I never thought they would fire him after year two, that he was going to get a third year, and this is it. So it's you put up or shut up this year. That's how I feel about it. I think that's how.
All right.
Joe Burrow probably feels on the inside, but on the outside, he's saying this guy's going to be here forever and we're going to win 12 Super Bowls.
By the way, again, my apologies to Darren for thinking that you made this list. It was Brent's fault, so I don't want you to.
I do believe that you have to go into this. If you're Joe Burrow, you have to go into this. Or any professional athlete, you have to go into the season believing you can win a Super Bowl with your team as it's constituted. I know that's probably not always true. You know, like.
I'll mention his name again, Freddie Kitchens. No one believed that team was winning the Super Bowl.
Freddie Kitchens did.
That team
had, no, he didn't even.
I'm just saying that I think that like 90% of these professional athletes, I mean, maybe in NFL it's different teams. Like somebody goes to the Jaguars, you're like, look, we're not winning the Super Bowl. You know, like we're not going to win it.
You're saying that, but the reality is that, you know, it's not a good football team.
I mean, okay. Anywho, let's.
Here's the test. If Sean McVay is coaching the Bengals, are they winning more or fewer games than if Zach Taylor coached the Bengals with the exact same roster? That's my point.
Many more.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Zach Taylor, somebody pointed this out. Like, Zach Taylor is not even a real – like nobody cares about the fact that Zach Taylor is 6-25-1.
Somebody does.
Nah, nobody cares. He's won 6 games in 2 years. And nobody seems to care. It's like, well, hey, there, it's the Bengals.
He beat the Steelers, so he's kind of going for him.
Yeah, he's got a tie. All right, coming up after the break.
And I think the other thing about the Bengals, the stat that was thrown out by Warren Sharp, is that over the past 2 years, the Bengals have held a lead in 24 of their 32 games, and he somehow only won 6 of those. So it's like he's competent enough to keep the team in these games. They're not getting blown out. You know, I've said all along that the Bengals are fun to watch. Their games are fun to watch. They just end up losing. So you got to figure out how to not lose.
That's the directive from the owner.
Figure out how to not lose.
Got it, coach.
Yeah. Good call, coach. Okay. Coming up after the break, what aspects of soccer would we like to see football incorporate? We'll tell you next.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
So Josh from London says, hi guys, love the show. As a Brit, fairly new to the NFL world, it's great to hear a podcast that has the banter while also being very informative. Thank you. I'm sure this question has about as much chance being read out as my 9-team NFL accumulator coming in. That's the UK word for parlay.
Accumulator, I like that.
But here goes. If you guys could take one thing about soccer to improve the NFL, what would it be? And vice versa, if you could take one thing from the NFL to improve soccer, what would it be? For context, this can be anything from a rule change to the way teams are run, et cetera. All the best, JB. So this is, by the way, if you leave a 5-star review, we're getting to that question. Much better chance than a parlay. Really more like a sort of a money line against whoever's playing against the Bengals, like -200.
-500. I was going to say
the Dolphins. So I immediately thought of, how about this?
Man, you did your homework this time. Amazing.
I know I did. I don't know what was going on. How about this? Games start on time. Like the game, if the game is scheduled for 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock, the game starts at 1 o'clock.
And what the other now? Does it not start on time?
I guess football is okay about it.
What are you talking about? What
game? There's always like a pregame lead up. Just start it.
Oh, all right. Well, that's I liked your other one a lot better.
What other one?
The rest of your sentence that you're, I don't want to steal your.
Oh, exactly 90 minutes. I just mean that soccer to me, the beautiful thing about soccer is that you sit down at 3 o'clock to watch a game and it is kicking off at 3 o'clock and it is 90 minutes long and there's no
commercials, no messing around.
Yeah. No commercials. Just get the sport in. They take a long halftime break and then you get the second half. It's, that's why it's fun to watch.
Yeah, no, the 90 minute thing, I would love that because, we would not be podcasting during the season at 2 a.m. We'd be podcasting at 9:30 p.m.
And, that's what you think, Wilson. There would just be more windows, more TV windows. There'd be a game kicking off at 10 p.m.
There'd be five games. That's a good point. All right.
They'll get there eventually anyway. Anyone else for soccer, Wilson?
I'm going to take the controversial angle and go with VAR, which is the soccer version of instant replay, but everything is, under review in VAR. And the funny thing is, even when they VAR stuff, they it's so like down to the hair of the leg of the person who may or may not be offsides that sometimes gets people fired up. But at least it would be right. Although VAR sometimes isn't always right. But I think the idea of being able to instant replay everything as opposed to just a random assortment of penalties that you may or may not think are important. And I will say this, soccer officials and lines people have done a much better job of not immediately calling a player offsides. They let the play unfold, which is equivalent to just blowing the whistle dead on a fumble or whatever that isn't a fumble. Let's see what happens. We can always go back. That's the whole point.
The other thing I would do, I'd love to see a Super League.
Nice.
Yeah. That was fun. We got you, Champions League rules, fuckers. Yeah, boy. My son's very into saying, yeah, boy.
There you go.
My one rule for each league. I would like the NFL to steal this from. I would like the NFL to relegate teams. That would hurt me the most. I'm a Bengals fan, but you know what? You need an incentive to win. If you get relegated, you don't get a cut of the huge NFL profits because you're down in the B league. So that would be costly to be one of the worst teams in the NFL. And then for the NFL implementing a soccer rule, I would like to see goalie type person allowed on long field goals. So like, you know, you have a guy back there receiving the kick, that guy would be allowed to jump up and block it, if he can.
You know, it's funny though. You talk about or ironic even, the idea of relegation is that maybe that would prompt Mike Brown to spend more money to stay in the first division, as opposed to going down a division where he would lose money because there's not as big of payouts for being not in the NFL.
I like the idea of relegation.
Reese didn't listen to my point. Well, that's okay.
I like it.
You have no idea what I just said.
What did he say?
He said something.
See, you got to be better about that, Reese. That's like the thing that I'm the best at is looking like I'm not paying attention or listening and then being, but actually hearing what you're saying.
I was reading the replies to Brinson's dumb tweet about the Bengals.
What a dumb tweet. It's a good tweet. I actually didn't think of anything. It's not like I didn't do my homework. I just didn't read the
classic Brinson.
I didn't have any NFL to soccer stuff. I don't know exactly what I would do for that. Any suggestions there?
No,
I'll give you all my suggestions.
I'm just trying to think how you would incorporate football stuff into soccer.
Make the ball oval.
Ooh.
Then it's just rugby.
Everyone has to wear helmets, but same rules, everything else.
You can only use your hands. You can't use your feet unless you're a kicker or a punter. Put yard lines on the field.
Put a post above the goal in soccer, and if they hit it with the ball, it's worth a goal.
There you go. See, the possibilities are endless.
I should be the commissioner of soccer. Is that a job?
No,
it is now.
It should be. Give me that job.
Okay, moving along. Great question, though. Thanks, Josh from London. Best NFL pod in town. Love the insight, banter, and tangents, Bronson, but also whoever else is on for this one. Best bang for the buck bourbon. Just found myself an Eagle Rare out here in California for just over $30. Buffalo Trace can be found for $25. What other bourbon should I be looking for in that price range that tastes better for less? Thanks, guys. Well, the answer is nothing. Like, if you're getting Buffalo Trace for $25, you're just not getting a better deal than that.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, I mean, that's just a great deal. And it's a great deal.
I was saying that's interesting. And I've told you guys this before, but I'll tell the listener this. My accountant runs a little side hustle called breakingbourbon.com where he.
Wait, is that actually your accountant?
Yeah. He's been doing this.
Breaking Bourbon's huge.
I told you about this years ago.
I know you've told me about it for years. I know.
So they started it on a whim, just buddies talking about it. They have a podcast. But anyway, they do all this bourbon. And I said to him like 3 or 4 years ago now, he says, I have so much bourbon in my house. He has 2 young kids. So I'll be serving this bourbon in my kids' weddings 15, 20 years from now, where they get married. But anyway, that's another place to go. But I was saying, that's interesting, not to you, but because when you go to breakingbourbon.com, you have to click and say, yes, I'm 21 years old before you have to see it, which I didn't realize was a thing, but it makes sense. But anyway, go ahead. Sorry. I just want to give a shout out.
No. I mean, that's like, is he making good cash on this, or is he just get a bunch of free bourbon?
Well, he's an accountant, so he probably getting the most out of it, but I don't ask him. They actually went to Kentucky and bottled. What do you do? How do you make your own bourbon? You, barrel your own bourbon. So you do.
Yeah.
I think they barreled their own stuff a few years ago. But yeah, he that's a great resource for folks like Brinson. I'm not much of a bourbon guy. Are you a bourbon guy, Breach?
I like bourbon. I'm kind of like everything. I like tequila, vodka.
I mean, if you Google bourbon reviews, the first 2 results are Breaking Bourbon.
And they've been, you know, it was a sweet spot. Like, you know, we've been podcasting forever and we were among the first sports podcasts back in the day, but we stopped and started. These guys were, front runners when it came to reviewing bourbon. And they started, I don't know how their podcast is, but I would imagine people listen to that a lot as well.
Yeah. I think when somebody comes out with a new bourbon, they are sending it to these guys immediately.
Right. Exactly. And he says, like, at least he told me back in the day a few years ago, like, celebrities, you know, they all release their various forms of alcohol and they'll love to have these guys review it because, as you know, how this thing works. You know, if you get it on the review sites and get a good review, that's half the battle.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like, I mean, they're basically, yeah, I mean, they have, just looking at this on here, they have, you know, they did a review like, I don't know, every couple of days.
Oh, great. Yeah. Obviously I don't.
Well, also if you go to this website, which we're now pushing, you can look at the reviews based on how much each bottle costs. So you can put the price range in. And so if you're looking for something in the 20,
this site is so well done. I'm so jealous of this.
It's a really good site. It's better.
Yeah.
So in that 20, $29
CBS Sports, you say this is better than CBS Sports.
I was going to say than anything you've ever done.
Yeah, for sure. So you can put in the $20 to $29 range, I think is probably the wheelhouse. I don't know if you want to go under $20. So here's what I wrote down, and we can compare it with what they have on there. So I wrote immediately, I said, Weller, which is Weller.
That is in the $20 to $29 range.
Nice. Weller is fantastic. Nice wheated bourbon. It is in along the same lines as Buffalo Trace in terms of you can't find it here. It's just hard to get, but you know, it's probably readily available elsewhere. You can buy it online too, be a little bit more expensive, but if you're out in California and apparently this stuff is readily available, Weller would be my first choice. I wrote down Evan Williams single barrel as sort of a sneaky option. It's people think Evan Williams, they're like, sounds like frat bourbon, you know, like college bourbon.
That's $20 to $29 as well.
There you go. Yeah. I can find that at the ABC store.
They actually recommend here. This was going to be I'm in Tennessee. One of the big brands here is George Dickel.
Yeah.
And that is, our friends at Breaking Bourbon said that's one of the best you can get for $25 and under.
There you go. Bullet, BULLEIT, the Washington Bullets. That's probably maybe even under 20. Bullet is just a really good house bourbon to have.
Ooh, this is on the 30 to 39. Maybe they've gone up in price.
Okay.
My brother-in-law recommended that to me 5 years ago as a cheap bourbon that even someone like me might like.
That's under the 30 to 39. Interesting. Oh, Buffalo Trace falls under 30 to 39 too. And Eagle Rare does too. I mean, Four Roses Small Batch. That's a great bourbon. Probably be 30. It's in the 30, probably $35, something like that.
You got it. 30 to 39.
Yep. I wrote down Four Roses Small Batch or Single Barrel. And they also have a Small Batch Select, which is like 49, I think, which is really good. But, you know.
Single Barrel Select is, come on. 40 to 49.
There you go. Thank you. I drink a lot of bourbon. High West, a little bit different style, not a Kentucky or Tennessee style, but instead Colorado whiskey. And they have several different High West styles. That's probably it's usually $39.99 maybe.
It's 40 to 49. So maybe it gets just.
Yeah. So with tax, you're probably in your 40s. And then I also wrote down if you're sort of easing into bourbon and you don't want to go into like fire up Wild Turkey 101 and get your face blasted. I love Basil Hayden, Hayden, Basil, like the leaf, two words. And it's probably $30, $35 maybe, but it's
there's a bunch of Basil Hayden, the bourbon, the dark rye, the 2x2 Caribbean Reserve.
Just the regular one, but it's the proof is a lot lower than your normal bourbon.
This is under the $40 category. So
Yeah, that's probably right.
All right.
So one of our mailbags in June is just going to be us taste testing all these bourbons and you'll see us progressively get drunker.
Maybe I'll get
the show goes on.
Maybe I'll get Breaking Bourbon not to join me on the podcast.
Ooh.
I thought you were going
to
say.
Get them on here. Tell them to send us a bourbon.
Chattanooga Whiskey 91 also on here as one of their good values between $30 and $39. I've been trying to buy a lot of Tennessee whiskeys and not the national stuff. And that is one I also like. So I'm glad to see that on the list.
Yeah. I mean, if you're, I went to high school in Chattanooga, right? What is,
private school, right?
Yeah. That's right. I didn't see Blanton's on here. Is Blanton Special Reserve there? If you can find Blanton's, that's the way to go. And you should be able to find it out in California, I would think. I only see the Special Reserve, which is $48. But there's a regular Blanton's that is cheaper than that, and I don't see it on here. There's five Blanton's. There's a Blanton's Single Barrel, Blanton's Gold, Blanton's Straight from the Barrel. Interesting. There's no
Interesting.
You got to get Ryan to drink the bourbon and get the tattoo the same night.
There you go.
I like that.
Devo's good at multitasking. There you go.
That's true.
Man, they have reviewed a lot of bourbon.
Yeah.
I am so jealous of this. Why didn't I think of this?
It requires hard work. I don't know if that's a stumbling.
It requires, drinking and writing. I'm good at those things.
At the same time?
Oh, yeah. How many articles I've written?
I will say this. The funny thing is, like, my accountant, as you would imagine, is very straight-laced. He isn't someone that you would imagine going around drinking bottles of bourbon and being sloshy. He's always, you know, very sort of.
I would assume that the thing is, if you're doing a bourbon review site, you're not drinking, like, most of his bourbon, most of his bourbon is probably, you know, like he's not chugging bourbon. He's not slamming back bourbon. He's tasting bourbon and then moving on to whatever his house bourbon is. If he's, you know,
What's he saving it for?
No, he's saving it for people come over. He's like, hey, when his friends come over, they're not like, hey, you want some wine?
What should I bring? Show up.
Yeah. My buddy Garrett has, some friends in his neighborhood who are big bourbon guys and, So when he gets together with this group, they all bring a bottle, and these guys all somehow have Buffalo Trace and Blanton's and all this stuff. It's ridiculous. Old Forester, I would add too, is pretty good. I've been drinking some of that. That's been popping up around here lately. So highly recommend that as well. All right. That's the show. Great mailbag as always. I hope everybody has a great Friday. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be back on Monday for Mock Draft Monday for Breach and Wilson. Brinson. See ya.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.